Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chagiga Hey, Chagiga 5. We'll start, though, on the facing page. So we're Chagiga Dalet Amud Beis 4b. Pagination is 8. Counting down from the top of the page, about 12 lines. Rabbi Yochanan ben Dahavoy Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Dahavoy said, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Suma ba'achas me'enav pato min hara'iya. A person who's blind in one of his eyes is absolved of the mitzvah of re'iya. Re'iya is to present oneself in front of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash with a korban on the Yamim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis. And we're being told that if a person does not have full sight, both eyes, then they're absolved. Shen ne'emar, as the pasuk says, yireh yireh. There's a comparison between the way we see and the way Hashem sees. Kederach shebaliros kach baliros. The way we're being seen, that's the way we have to be able to see. Ma baliros b'shtei einav. A person is seen with two eyes. Kaviyachal afliros b'shtei einav. He sees with both eyes. Person has to have full sight, just like Hashem views us with his full attention. This idea that the Jewish people are presenting themselves in front of Hashem, who anticipates their visit, really a very close comparison with the mashal nimshal that we always talk about relationships. So that becomes a theme over here for the next three or so pages of observing how terrible a fallout existed in this relationship. And this is one of the things that made one of the Gedolim cry. And as we'll see, a bunch of others, as you flow through this Gemara, different things that were considered very striking observations. Rav Huna kimati laikra yira yira bochi. When Rav Huna got to this topic of you should see as you are seen, or you should be seen as you see, so he cried. Omar, he said, imagine this, there's a comparison between the way we perceive Hashem and Hashem perceives us, because Hashem waited for us in anticipation. Eved sherabo mitzapo lo liroso, a servant that his master was waiting to see him, yisrachik mimenu, has now been distanced so terribly. Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, kisavo liros, when you come and you want that audience, who asked it of you to come trample in my courtyard? Hashem's response is so forcefully that he's no longer interested in that audience. So look at the comparison, and that made him cry. Used to be anticipation, and now it's a negative. It's rejected. There are a bunch of such cases listed. I'd like to skip to one on Hey Amud Beis 5b, pagination is 10, counting into the widest lines, four lines down in the middle of the line. Magid la'odam masecho. Hashem will tell a person what his speech is. Hashem keeps track even of the casual speech. Amar, he said, Eved sherabo magid lo masicho takana yeshlo. This too was reason to cry, to be astounded. What hope is there for a person if Hashem keeps track even of the casual speech? My masicho, what exactly are we talking about, the casual speech? Amarav, Rav explained, afilusicha yosera sheben ish leishto. Even the extra speech between a husband and wife, magidim lo la'odam b'shas misa, is told to a person by way of judgment at the time of death. In other words, if there's extra speech between husband and wife, even that is something the person is held accountable for. Eini, we actually can ask a question on that. It does not seem to be true. In other words, the statement here seems to be telling us to limit the conversation between husband and wife, and that's not the way it was presented to us. V'harav Kano avagone tu sepurye d'rav. Rav Kano witnessed the way Rav appeased his wife before intimacy. V'shame, and he heard, d'soch, he schmoozed, he talked. V'tzochak, he made jokes. V'asa tzorochov, and afterwards, he was with her. Omar, Dami Pume de Rav, and his description of the way Rav dealt with it, Kemadilotoim Le Tavshila. He talks clean. He says, as if he never had food, as if he never tasted hot food, never had a cooked dish. So Rav Kana's description over here is that Rav was totally motivated, passionate, endearing with his wife. So how can you tell me that extra speech between husband and wife is going to be part of the judgment? And the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Kandet tzorech l'retzuye. This is the case where it was needed to appease her. She needed attention. Hadlo tzorech l'retzuya. And here it's talking in a case where it was not necessary, where a person just tries to increase excitement without a need. And that's in fact the wording of the original statement, Sicha yesera shebein ish le'ishto, extra schmoozing, extra talk between husband and wife. But whatever is necessary for proper endearment is part of the mitzvah. And indeed we find that in different sforim, in different contexts, they all quote the same statement. If they're talking about that the husband should be more in tune with his wife's needs, so then they'll talk about that a person should talk first, and all of that goes into the judgment of how involved you are in doing the mitzvah properly, which is to give the wife her attention. If, however, we're dealing with people who are overboard, who are trying to increase excitement without need, without justification, a woman is not a kosher version of a prostitute. A woman is an Eishes Chayil. She's a great person with a treasured relationship. So then, in that case, this extra talking is inappropriate, so then if it's inappropriate, it's inappropriate. But what we see over here from Rav is that there is supposed to be passion, motivation, interest shown between husband and wife. Continuing on this theme of Hashem paying attention in very great detail to the nuances, and even paying attention in this case to speech, so there's a great story taking the role of a legend in Jewish life of two women who promised each other that whoever gets to the Olam HaEmes, to the world of truth first, whoever passes on first, would come to the other in a dream and tell her how it is and what the judgment is like. So as the story is related, one of them passed away, and shortly thereafter, she came to her friend in a dream, and she said, I can't reveal everything that goes on here. I can only tell you that everything is with extreme, extreme meticulousness. Whatever was done right is acknowledged. Whatever was done wrong is acknowledged as such. One thing I've been given permission to tell you, that one time we were going from house to house collecting money for a poor person, and we came to a certain house, and it seemed to be vacant. And I said, let's check. And you said, there's really no reason to check. It looks vacant. And I said, I'd like to check anyway. I walked up to the front stoop. I knocked on the door. I waited there until it became clear that indeed the house was vacant, and I walked back to you and rejoined you so that we could go on to the next house. I've been given permission in heaven to come to you and tell you that those steps that I took, even on spec, even with expecting that there's a good chance that the house is empty, those steps that I took earned me a reward beyond comprehension of the human mind. And this is what's described on the entire daf, different cases of things that evoked tears from great Jews when they came to that topic, and among them prominently is the exactness of the Yom HaDin, of the Day of Judgment, both in terms of what we did wrong, but also in terms of what we did right. Yosher Koach, thank you for joining.